Blog Talk Radio.
Mike out here in California representing for the West Coast. How's everybody doing tonight?
Jamal, I'm from Dallas. I was ready to talk some football. Callers, call in. Tell us what you know.
And the one and the only, Michael A. Martin, a.k.a. Chi-Town in the house. What's going on, everybody? I'm ready to talk some good old football, college, NFL, you name it. Hear your views, perspectives, ideas. Number of good old sports talk. Bring it.
All right. Yeah, and if you want to call, call in 347-237-5539, CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show. Now, been a lot of stuff going on. Week one of NFL, week two of college. We're going to start on college first. The big news of today, Notre Dame is joining the ACC. In all of sports except for football, but in football, they will have to play 5 games. So I want to know, panel, what is your opinion on that? Notre Dame, essentially they're joining the ACC, not by title, but they're going to join it essentially by playing with the fact that they have to play 5 ACC teams a year. I want to know what your opinion is. Let me start with you, Cali Mike.
I think it's interesting. I have to see a little bit. I have to read a little bit more about how the whole thing is going to go, like how the championship scene will play out. You know how the BCS picks would go. Well, there ain't gonna be no more BCS. Well, how the playoff picks will go, I guess. But I think it could be good. I mean, you know, hopefully, you know, unless they play the cupcakes, at least that means we're gonna get to see, you know, Notre Dame playing Miami. You know, schools like Miami every year. You know, VTech, you know, FSU. So, I mean, you know, it could, you know, like I said, it could be pretty interesting. You know, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's a big step on, you know, Notre Dame's part. And, you know, and I think it's going to pretty much going to assure that the ACC is going to remain relevant, you know, because Notre Dame, no matter how good or bad they are, they're going to bring money and they're going to bring ratings.
Okay. Do you think they're closer to, you know, being closer to the old Notre Dame? Will they ever get there?
That's tough to say. It'll be interesting. Like I say, it'll be interesting to see with how they do their scheduling, because it can open up a lot more recruits from them from the state of Florida, because it's almost guaranteeing that they're going to play at least one or two games in Florida every year. So, you know, that appeals to a lot of recruits that might not, you know, might want to come home and, you know, get have their families at least get to see them play, you know, a couple of games. So, you know, but like I said, it's gonna take a lot for Notre Dame to get back to where it was. But you know, like I said, I think this is a big step for it.
Okay, Tex, what you think?
I think it's a pretty good move for the ACC. You look at most of the schools in the conference. You compare them to Notre Dame as far as recognition. Definitely helps as far as TV ratings is concerned. Notre Dame is nationally known. I mean, let's face it, they haven't done anything in a long time, but they are nationally known. Nobody, you know, I guess we can't really talk about basketball because it's a football show, but when it comes to that sport, I mean, you'll still have Notre Dame versus the top schools in the ACC. those other schools have, the TV money and everything, it basically works out because at a dinner table on the West Coast or way up on East, nobody is probably sitting back talking about Florida State football. You know, they're probably, if they're talking about something, they're probably discussing Notre Dame, whether it's how sorry they are or how good they are. People are going to be talking about them. So it definitely helps the ACC as far as TV money is concerned. And, you know, when they get to playing Duke and everybody else, I mean, I'm just going by the ratings. You know, Notre Dame's ratings are off the chart. Definitely going to help everybody in the conference as far as that's concerned.
Well,
whether they'll be competitive or not, I'm not sure. But this is, you know, this is not a okay. This is we're going to compete. This is more of a, you know, this is just a money thing, actually.
Well, like I said, I mean, I think they will return to relative. I don't know if they're going to win national championships after national championships like Alabama's doing right now, but I think they have the ability, they have a strong possibility to get back to where they were. Like I said, but the only thing they need to do now is start recruiting the B-side player that doesn't have the issues. That's the only thing. That's the only way they're going to be able to be successful. They have to start getting those B-side players. If they don't do that, they still want to get these straight and narrow looking kind of players. They're not going to get back in. They're not going to get back to prominence where they were. They need to go get the B-side players, and I think they're starting to do that now with Brian Kelly in the fold. I think he'll be able to do that. So, okay, let's go to the next topic here.
Can I ask me, Clausel?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chi-Town, man. Go ahead, Chi-Town. I'm terribly sorry, yo. Go ahead.
Since Notre Dame is right around my way, man, it's nothing new, but Notre Dame. Why the ACC? Why they just couldn't join the Big Ten? Geographically, it's right in Big Ten country. It should have been Big Ten, though. I mean, hey, that's the only thing I don't get. Hey, they finally took it. I guess, was it about the money or what? I mean, Big Ten has the money, so I'm just wondering why they turned the Big Ten down to go to the ACC.
Well, they'll still play Michigan. They'll still be playing Michigan, Mike.
Yeah, well, but
a lot of it has to do with, you know, they had that television contract with NBC. So, you know, it's like I guess maybe there may be some have revenue sharing type of thing, because I think that's a big money grab for Notre Dame, right? That television contract with NBC. So, you know, if they join the Big Ten, maybe the Big Ten didn't want to negotiate the revenue sharing the way Notre Dame wanted to do it, whereas the ACC was able to accommodate for what Notre Dame wanted to do. Kind of like with Texas and the Big 12. I think it's the same situation with Notre Dame and the ACC. You know, Texas kind of still gets to keep their Longhorn network, whereas Notre Dame still gets to keep their, you know, NBC contract.
Yeah, that makes sense because, you know, Big Ten has their own network, and, of course, it has more most likely than the ACC with their network. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, this I guess it's a solid move. You know, they still got their network and their – money with the contract with NBC. But then, you know, you was asking the boys about if Notre Dame, the football, are they going to return to the dominance they had in the old days. I mean, I was going to say until they change their ways, I don't see them being a Notre Dame with the old. I mean, their
what do you mean by
policies,
change their ways? Can you explain that? Change your ways? What do you mean
their
by that?
Their mission policy, I guess, on recruiting athletes, on like the type of players you're saying that they're getting, they're not going to get those type of players until they change their policies.
See, that's the thing right there. That's what kind of gets me with this thing. You don't have to be a genius to get into Notre Dame to play football. That's a big, I think, a misconception. Now, maybe you may have to have a 2.0 GPA, whereas some schools will allow you to have like a 1.8 or a 1.7 or something like that. But in general, most high school students, I don't know. I mean, in general, I don't know the statistics, but I would suspect most high school students will graduate with over a 2.0 GPA. Is that fair to say?
Like Paul Horning who had said, the great Paul Horning who had made that comment, you know, several years back, they need to get, you know, saying more of those type of athletes, you know, the black athletes and stuff he was saying, you know, going back, getting the good ones, he was saying, and, you know, he kind of lost his position on, I guess, radio on that, but Yeah, he was being real. They wasn't getting those type of players.
Yeah, but I don't think he knew what he was talking about, man. He talking about the recruitment stand. They've always had those same academic standards. Even when Tony Rice was there, they always had those same academic standards. It's just well, Notre Dame's just not appealing to a lot of people anymore. And they're getting the A-side player. That's the key. It's like you have to fit a role. They're trying to be like Duke or something. You know, Duke has to get a certain type of player, like an Allen Iverson kind of player would not want to can't play for Duke. You know, well, I don't know. Allen Iverson may not be a good example, or like a Andre Johnson kind of a player.
You made it right. You said it right with an Allen Iverson type. I guess the core roles, that type of stuff. That's not the type of image Duke has with their program. I get what you're saying.
They don't want to get the brother with the dreads or something like that, who may still be a good guy. But he just doesn't fit the fit their fold. He doesn't fit their look. And I'm saying Notre Dame has to get a player that he has to get the B-side player, basically. That's what he's going to have to do. A high-character B-side player like an Edgerrin James, like I said, or Andre Johnson type of player. You know what I mean? There's a bunch of talented guys out there, you know, that'll like to go to Notre Dame. You just got to reach out to them. That's what I'm just saying. So
yeah, anyway. I don't see that happening within the next 5 years, or it could be 10, but I don't see it changing with Notre Dame. Notre Dame, of course, would be relevant with the money because it's Notre Dame, but as far as being competitive up there with the USC's and, you know, USC or Alabama's, I see those two schools. And Oregon, I don't see them being there.
Okay. All right, CMT Firestorm, you want to call 347-237-5539? We're going to go to the next topic here. Out of this last weekend, you've seen 2 weeks of college football. Could you name me your top five right now in the country? I'm going to start with you, Chi-Town. Who's your top five in order?
Top five teams?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's still going into week three. I mean, it's pretty much the same playing out, you know, Alabama, USC, in one or two order or whatever order you want. You know, LSU, Oregon, and I guess whatever the team that they have in the five, I saw the ranking, but I can't think of the other team they have up there in the five, really. I mean,
you're in conjunction with the AP poll or something like that, basically.
Yeah, poll. I think because I seen that one poll out they had on TV, and I just looked at, oh, okay. So I'm kind of sticking with, you know, it hasn't been no crazy upset on either team, so it's pretty much vanilla to how it was last week.
All right, Callie, Mike, what's your take on this? I already got an idea what you're gonna say, but keep going.
I'd have to go SC, Alabama, Oregon, LSU, and number five team. I don't know. I'm thinking I might have to put Georgia in there.
Who? Georgia?
Yeah.
No.
Oh my goodness! Georgia almost lost the Missouri this weekend?
They didn't almost lose. They finished the game.
They finished the game, but they weren't – whatever, man. Whatever.
Clausell. Ask USC, Michigan State, ask these guys about playing on the road in college football, buddy. I mean, he's serious. Missouri? Go ahead.
It's any given Saturday, and, hey, them boys in the SEC, so, hey, maybe Georgia boys kind of lightly, and, hey, they just came to ball and play. Like you said, SEC, it's any given Saturday.
Mike, I'm not sure if – I mean, that's fine for the cliches and all that, but, you know, it's like I always tell people when I have discussions about whether a team is good or not, and then we look at a close game on the road, you know, playing at home is, you know, just like you take USC and Notre Dame, how you have a 27-25 game in South Bend, but you go to you go to Southern Cal, you got a 56-21 game. You understand what I'm saying? So the home field is huge in college football.
Yes, I understand that. But, you know, it's huge. Whatever, man. I just don't think when I think of my top five teams, I understand you have a home. I understand that concept. But when you're ready and when you're prepared and you're the best team on the field and you know there's a team that's not even ranked, you're playing, and you struggle with them into the second half, something's not right with that. You are a good team, but you're not necessarily a top five team. That's the point I'm making.
But you're not a top five team.
That's not. Well, I'm not disputing if Georgia's a good team. They're a good team.
Are they a top five team? Yeah, of course. Is Florida State a top five team? Are they playing teams from conferences that we ever heard of? Florida State.
But you gotta look at the manner in which they're beating them. They've only allowed 3 points the whole year. They've only allowed three points the whole year. So they're playing cupcakes. That's why I wouldn't put them at number one. They had to play.
Do we even know the conference that these teams, Florida State beating, are playing in? I mean, I'm not sure. You know.
Yeah, the SWAC. The MEAC and the
MEAC.
Okay, who's heard of the MEAC besides us and a couple of others? That's basically my point. And I'm gonna say the same thing for Alabama this second game too. Let me give you my top five. Georgia going on the road to Missouri is my number five team. I was impressed with the way they finished the game. I'm impressed with their defensive line. I think they have some resolve. Well-coached team. I mean, detail-oriented. My fourth team, I'm going to have to say Oregon. Offense is explosive. Fast, fast, fast. Now, they lost safety. That might hurt them. They lost him for the year. But Oregon's still fast on offense, still explosive. I would have to see them against the Alabama or LSU defense still. But no lower than five, but I have them at four. Three, Alabama, again, play a team from a country we know about. And you have them beating, and they beat Michigan in the first week. I mean, now when Michigan lets the Coast Guard hang with them up at their house, I mean, now we have to ask how good was Michigan? Are they not the most overrated team in the nation? And the Big Ten is 2-7 against automatic BCS qualifiers. And the only two wins come from Northwestern, nobody else. You understand what I'm saying? So how good was Michigan when Alabama beat them? Number two, I want to say USC, but it's probably LSU dominant over Washington. Besides USC's offense, if I had a choice, I'd take LSU's four running backs. Going to have an edge against every team in the nation that they play, regardless, with that running game. And number one is probably USC. Go cross country with the young players they have, them guys, and, you know, they haven't traveled anyway at all. And they go to Syracuse, and they go win the game. And what's more is that they were Syracuse kept them from executing the big plays that they usually have, and they were forced to dink and dunk, and they showed another side, and they just stayed patient, and they drove down the field. They showed another dimension of their offense, which shows you how good they are. But that's my top five.
Well, my top five, I'm going to have to put Florida State at number five. No, my bad. No, I didn't put Florida State at number five. I have Oregon at number five. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to put Oregon at number five. That offense, just like you said, that offense with that quarterback throwing like that, man, that's just very good. Even though they played cupcakes, I understand that. But just the way the offense looks, I mean, they were pinpoint accurate, looked very good. Number four, I'm going to have to put USC. USC, they played very well against Hawaii. This is not Hawaii with Colt Brennan. This is Hawaii, a whack Hawaii, okay? Silas Red ran for like 60-something yards against Hawaii. I mean, what is that? So, and then Syracuse, they were, I mean, they weren't necessarily struggling against Syracuse, but that defense looks suspect for USC, in my opinion. That is not a national championship defense right now. So, I don't see them competing against a bona fide running game like an LSU or Alabama. Number three, I'm gonna have to put LSU there because they really impressed me when they beat Washington the way they did. A very good quarterback, very good offense, and they just shut it down. Shut it down from top to bottom. And I think that was very impressive. Number two, I'm going to have to put Florida State there, even though they play two cupcakes, but just the way the defense looks. I mean, very fundamentally sound, even though they lost one of their best, the best defensive linemen. He's going to be replaced. You know, they reload there. They have an SEC type of defense there. They're locked down on defense. EJ Manuel's very efficient at the quarterback position. He's not gonna take the game over. He's just going to be very efficient, sort of like a Josh Freeman kind of a player. So I think they're number two right now, and obviously number one will be Alabama, who, in my opinion, has the best stable of running backs in the country, in my personal opinion. Run the ball like that, and then when you have the element of A.J. McCarron now throwing the ball, that's a deadly combination on top of the dominant defense that they have. Now, don't get me wrong now. If something happened this weekend with LSU, I think they woke up when they saw Alabama play Michigan or something. But that defense looked completely different from week one to week two. LSU is just like jumped like the team. The top three teams have the top three defenses in the country. That's LSU, Florida State, and Alabama. I don't know what happens, but LSU I think is going to sort of start having momentum now. But back to my point with Alabama, when you have a combination of the quarterback, the defense, and the dominant running game that they have right now, it's just unstoppable. What you have to say? Someone had to say something.
I was going to say, Clausell, didn't y'all lose one? I was listening to Greg Willie Joe Namath's show today, and he was saying he got mad on that one play when y'all was just pretty much laying up some boys that on a passing play, you all lost one of your running backs to a knee injury. Is he out for the year?
No, we're not. We didn't lose no more running back to a knee injury. I don't remember.
I heard somebody in that game, he was saying that out with a knee. I forgot what name he said, but it was one of your running backs.
I don't remember.
Yeah, he got hurt in that game, but, you know.
Yeah, and also I'd like to say Florida State is the number two team in the country? Are you serious?
Yeah, but you got to look at the way they beat those teams, man. I mean,
Who'd they play? Miami Northwestern? They played a good high school team, but
I'm with you. I understand where you're coming from. But even if you do 7-on-7,
They might as well have been playing 7-on-7. They might as well have.
I mean, just the way in which they ran that defense was fundamentally sound, so dominant. It just, I really think that they're number two right now. And the way their schedule is set up, even though they have to go to Blacksburg at the end of the year, the way their schedule is set up, they can run the table easily right now.
Central California State and all these other wild schools. Of course you can run the table.
So far they think they should be ranked number one with points, allowed the fewest points, because so far they only allowed 3 points.
They only allowed 3 points. That's a very
cupcake schedule.
No, but next week I think they start their ACC play, and then
They probably play Wake Forest, and they got Clemson, so they got two games at home.
Well, the test for Florida State will be this, and I know you're gonna laugh at this. The test will be they have to go to USF in a few weeks here in Tampa, and
I'm not lying on that. That's a big test right there. I give you that.
And both teams,
South Florida 2-0 is two.
Yeah, both teams will be undefeated, but if Florida State comes down here and dominates from beginning to end, that lets you know they're their elite team right there. That confirms their eliteness right there. If they come in and dominate, come on the road, just like you said, the road is tough. Just like y'all were saying, if they come on the road and dominate from beginning to end, not like what Georgia did. Georgia was struggling until halftime, and then they came to show their dominance in the second half. If they dominate,
let me ask you this question. Was Georgia struggling, or were they playing a solid football game against a solid team? I mean, what's struggling? Struggling is where you're not doing anything. In my opinion, to me, playing a tough game, every game is not going to be, 55-0 unless you're playing Eastern, Central, California, Southwestern, Savannah State like FSU did last week.
Well, my thing, okay, maybe I shouldn't say struggle. Maybe I should say they should dominate from beginning to end. Dominate from beginning to end. If they dominate from beginning to end, that's a confirmation that they're a top five team. Maybe I should look. Maybe that's the correct word to say.
Against who? South Florida?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but yeah, just South Florida.
You just discounted USC's win against Syracuse, but now if FSU beat South Florida, they're dominant.
But USC didn't dominate. They were playing solid football. They didn't dominate. Well,
what area did they dominate?
Well, you can tell. Okay, my thing is, I was watching the USC game. You could tell that they were the better team from beginning to end. I'll give you that. But they weren't like they were cut. They weren't cutthroat. You know, they were kind of inefficient a little bit in the offense from play to play or whatnot.
You mean by the six touchdowns that Matt Barkley threw, or the 100 yards that Silas Red ran for? Which part?
I'm talking about from the start.
You just made up 50 yards a little while ago too.
I was talking from the start of the game to the halftime, Callie. I'm talking about from the start of the game to the halftime. It didn't look like they were dominating from beginning to end. Even though I could tell that they were a top five team.
I mean, I don't understand. How do you can dominate a Murray State like FSU did, and you can dominate a Savannah State, but these other kids do play football. These are, you know, like I said, they're in big-time conferences. These aren't Central, Eastern, you know, New Mexico or whatever these other schools. Let me tell you, you can tell if you play in a real school, if you play them on NCAA 2013, it doesn't even say their conference. It just says FBS or something like that. It don't even say the name of the school. It just says a symbol. That's the school's FSU playing. You know, it just says the symbol of where they are. And that I don't count any of those wins.
All right.
Speaking of Georgia, even though if they did have a little struggle, whatever, I mean, it was a game, but they beat Missouri 41-20.
Exactly.
And that's the point in the fourth quarter.
And again, they did it on the road. I mean.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
All right.
And Missouri's a solid school with NFL prospects.
And they in
right,
the
well,
SEC, and they showing why they belong, want to be in the SEC.
All right. Well, let's go on the other end. Who do you think is the most overrated team in the country?
Michigan.
I'm gonna start with you, Cali Mike. Who do you think it is?
I mean, that's kind of tough. I'm going to go ahead and say. Oh, yeah, I forgot to even bring this up. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that the same team that you picked to go to the national championship last week, Arkansas Razorbacks, who lost to University of Louisiana, Manchester United, or whoever they lost to, got the crap kicked out of them. I'm going to go ahead and pick them. Because they had the second biggest fall in the rankings in history.
All right. Jamal, who you got?
Just Michigan and basically everybody in the Big Ten. At least Michigan State winning. At least Michigan State winning, but still. I'm going to say Michigan, but I'm going to go ahead and say the Big Ten, basically. Pick a team.
All right.
The Pac-10 dominated the Big Ten this weekend, by the way, too, even though I don't do conference stuff. But
yeah, they did.
Throw that out there.
Yeah, y'all did.
Who you got, Shottown? We got a caller coming. Who you got, Shottown?
And right now, I had to kind of go with Mike. I mean, nah, I ain't going to go with Mike because, like I said, I'm not surprised about Arkansas. Right now, I just say I'm not too happy about the Big Ten play right now. So I'm putting Big Ten on notice right now.
You're just saying the Big Ten in general, right?
Yeah, for this week, they're not playing too good right now.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to have to agree with my friend Mike here. I really thought Arkansas was going to be up for the national championship, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And I think it had a lot to do with Tyler Wilson getting hurt. I think that's what it had a lot to do with.
No, it didn't. As I told Texas this weekend, Tyler Wilson does not play defense. Tyler Wilson is not a linebacker. Tyler Wilson plays quarterback. He had nothing to do with Louisiana Monroe putting those points on Arkansas. That was ridiculous. That's how they lost.
All right.
They stink.
All right.
Another overrated SEC team.
Okay. All right. Let me get to a caller here. This is 413, CMC Firestorm.
Yeah, this is Jamal. What's up?
What's up?
What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up? So I'm hearing the topic of discussion is most overrated in college football right now?
Yeah.
Yep. That would – how is South Carolina escaping this conversation?
Whoa, you say South Carolina, Jamal?
Yes.
Why do you say South Carolina?
Because they, the last couple of years, they've reached to the top 10 preseason time, and every year they disappoint. It seems like they have yet to prove anything. Steve Spurrier hasn't proved anything at South Carolina. Like, why are they a top 10 team?
I kind of picked South Carolina too at the beginning of the season. I was talking in text about that, especially after that Vanderbilt game. But you know, they do have NFL prospects. You know, they are a well coach. You know, Steve Spurrier is a good coach. And you know, like I said, I promised this year to see him out. Like I said, I want to see them out this whole season before I can really jump on them. But I kind of see where you're coming from because I was looking at them at the beginning of the year, but. You know, I promise to look at the whole season before I put my judgment out on them. But I don't, like you said, I don't know about the preseason, you know, top 10 rankings. I don't agree with preseason rankings in the first place, but I agree with you there.
Like our favorite caller who be calling in every week, he was saying about, you know, the SEC East and the West. Yeah, and the West will come in, they're going to smoke the East. But a team like Georgia, I was looking at that schedule, of course, South Carolina. I think he had Georgia in the SEC championship. That might be a game where Georgia might lose to South Carolina because, you know, that's a battle and that's a rivalry. And of course, that's going to be a game battling recruits in that area. You know, Athens and South Carolina, their campuses are not too far from each other. So that's going to be a battle right there. If Georgia was going to lose the game, that would be one of the games they'll lose to.
But what exactly are you looking at with South Carolina that suggests that, I mean, even if you just eliminate preseason rankings or the rankings right now, folks generally think of them as one of the better teams in the country, top 10, however you have to fall. What have they ever done? What did they do last year to make you think that that's what they should be this year or anything?
I mean, I knew last year they weren't going to really do too much. After, you know, Garcia, your quarterback, you know, your starting quarterback gets kicked off the team like that. So, you know, I didn't really expect much of them last year. So this year, I mean, hey, I'm just waiting to see approach to see, you know, more before I really, like I said, I'm kind of with Cali Mike. I don't really get into all preseason rankings. You know, they have two teams rank high and season start, and they drop down out of the ranking.
Well, go ahead, Tex. What'd you guys say?
I don't see it with SC. I'm not hearing people talk about them like they are a national title contender. I mean, there's top 10, there's top 5, and then there's, okay, this team has a shot at a BCS championship. That's how I kind of classify these teams. At best, I see South Carolina as a bottom of the top 10 team. That's at absolute best. You understand what I'm saying? I don't think SC's overrated. Love the front seven, love the running back. Shaw comes back. Love the quarterback. Love the coaching. I just don't think, as far as overrated is concerned, nobody's touching Michigan. I mean, ridiculous. Eighth in the nation. You understand what I'm saying? Then getting ran by Alabama. They win next week. I can't even remember who they played. And then, like I said, the Army Reserves play them, and they win by like 4 points. Completely overrated.
Title contenders themselves. I mean, nobody was talking about them as winning at all.
Who was this?
Thanks.
Michigan. Nobody was talking about Michigan as a top potential national title contender.
Well, no, but you had people saying they could. Yeah, people saying after those first three teams that Michigan was going to be right there. I didn't buy that. Right. I thought they'd be the best in the Big Ten, but I didn't buy that Michigan was after you go 1, 2, 3, bam, 4, 5. Here we have Michigan. You know what I'm saying? I didn't see them as that kind of team, but I saw them as winning the Big Ten. You see what I'm saying? But now, I mean, it's
I mean, can they win six games in the Big Ten? I mean, that's what I'm looking at them. They start eighth in the nation. I'm saying they overrated because I have to ask, are they going to win six games this year?
Well, I mean, the Big Ten is down, isn't it? Like they could run the table in the Big Ten and still be look at the teams, the talent from the teams. They could be the 15th best team in the country and still run the table in the Big Ten.
Well, I mean, 15th best team and be in the Holiday Bowl. You know what I'm saying?
Well, nah, they'd be in the Big Ten and they'd be in the BCS Bowl.
If they finish 15th, I can guarantee you Michigan State will finish before them, and they'll get a bowl bid. Michigan will be left out on the at-large.
All right. Well,
Michigan State beats around 15.
But Jamal, you got Jamal Tex. You got to understand Texas Jamal Tex.
Yeah.
You got to understand that after you get beat down the way they got beat, you know you're not going to necessarily get beat up for the next game. So I understand Michigan was very strategic to schedule Air Force the week after that, because if they had somebody like a Michigan State, they had somebody like a Nebraska, they had somebody like a formidable Big Ten team, they would have lost that game.
And they almost lost the past week.
Right, I understand,
yeah.
Because they weren't up for the game. Their spirits were so down from getting beat up like that, because they knew the athletic director knew they were going to get beat like that. So you think
they're better than they showed last week, is what you're saying?
What they showed last week. That's what I'm saying, yes.
Okay.
I do. I think they're better. And I think, you know, they will be in contention for the Big Ten title. I don't know if they're going to win it. Well, maybe they will, because I think the best team in the Big Ten right now is Ohio State. You know, I think they're the closest thing to a formidable – that's the best the Big Ten has to offer. But Ohio State's not going to be available to even play for the Big Ten championship because of their sanctions. So who's next in line? Michigan State? What'd you say?
I said that's a good point. I forgot about that. They're not going to open it up probably for Michigan State. Yeah.
So who's next in line?
Hey, maybe
who's next
Wisconsin.
In line? It's the number two team in the Big Ten. That's what it basically boils down to. Who's the second best team in the Big Ten?
Wisconsin showed me that they're a very limited team. And then if you stop Monty Ball, then you stop Wisconsin. There's no Russell Wilson there this year.
Yeah, they don't have the quarterback this year the receivers for that
matter.
They got the quarterback from Maryland, but I guess he's just learning it, you know, his first year there. So maybe, you know.
Well, he's just not a dynamic type of quarterback. He's definitely not Russell Wilson. He's a run-of-the-mill college quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's not bad. He's not going to win any games by himself.
All right. 413.
I was gonna say something about South Carolina. I'm looking at their schedule. South Carolina gets that game against Georgia. They can easily be 3-4, 5-0 going against that game against Georgia. They got a favorable schedule. They got UAB, you know, at home and Missouri at home, and they go out to Kentucky. So I mean, they could maybe be 5-0 or 4-1 at best.
After that, they got a murderer's row, though, don't they? They play LSU,
at Florida, then Tennessee, Arkansas.
They probably got the toughest schedule in October.
Okay, I got another caller in coming in. 850, CMC Firestorm.
All right, just getting in here, and I'm seeing that y'all are arguing the point about Michigan, and they're saying the Big Ten Conference, and I guess somebody brought up a point about Michigan State being, like, the best in the Big Ten or whatever it is and being chosen over Michigan. The problem is that what happened last year was Michigan State did beat Michigan in the regular season and won the division. But when they got beat by Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game, who got the at-large bid? Not Michigan State. It was Michigan. So even if, like, you know, Michigan ended up with, like, a, you know, top 15 or top 12 ranking, which pretty much happened last year, people wanted to see Michigan over Michigan State in reference to the national, you know, landscape of things in reference to, you know, getting an at-large BCS bowl bid. So that's something to put into consideration. Now, as far as, like, the Big Ten as a whole, right now, I don't see them as good as they were last year. Maybe Michigan State would be the best of the Big Ten right now, but I'd probably give that vote to Nebraska at this point.
I can't say Nebraska now because the way they went to UCLA and got beat like that, I mean, well, they didn't get beat bad, you know. I'm just saying it's just
UCLA, not a bad team.
Nebraska to be a little bit better.
Yeah,
well, I expected them to win
UCLA's
the Big Ten.
UCLA's not a bad team this year. UCLA's not a bad team this year. I think people are sleeping on them in reference to the overall state of the Pac-12 because, I mean, at the beginning of the season when it came to the Pac-12, I mean, people were talking about USC and Oregon, and then they'd say it's a huge drop-off. But now you got UCLA performing well, so we'll see how the rest of the season fares out for them. But I think that's, you know, they're pretty favorable as far as, like, the rest of their schedule goes until they run into – you know, the USCs and so forth.
Hey, question. Who's the head coach of UCLA again? Is it Jim Moore Jr.?
Yeah.
Jim Moore Jr.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, I just expected a little bit more from Nebraska this year, and
It's still early, though, Clydesdale.
I was watching that game. It just didn't seem like they just didn't seem like the best team in the Big Ten to me. The best team I've seen in the Big Ten so far is Ohio State. And then after that, it's just kind of like even – everybody's even. But I didn't think Nebraska was in that
hold
even
on,
at the top.
Which
hold
on, I got a question.
Yeah.
Do you think that Ohio State is like one of the top 10 teams in the country right now? Because they're pretty close to the top 10. As of this week, do you think they're top 10?
I don't know about that.
They're a young team. If they are, they're a lower top 10. I've only seen them play once, but they've been the most impressive team I've seen in the Big Ten. It's just, I think they're lower. If they're top 10, they'll be lower top 10. Like 9, 10 ish.
So you say they're better than Michigan State?
I think they could beat Michigan State, yes.
Ohio State?
I like Michigan State defense versus Bryson Miller. I like their defense.
It would be a close game. It depends where the game was played. That's the key. If it's played in the Horseshoe, I'd give Ohio State. If it's played in Lansing, I'd probably go with Michigan State maybe, slight edge. It's just all about that home field advantage in that situation.
Well, for me, Michigan State, it really doesn't matter if they're, like, home or away. They can still, like, you know, be up to the challenge. I think they were pretty much a pretty good road team last year. So, it wouldn't matter for Michigan State. I mean, they got the coaching, they got the poise, and they got the team in order to do it, especially with, you know, Le'Veon Bell, their running back. I think they can control the clock and their defense could step up to the occasion in containing Bryson Miller and the Ohio State offense.
It'll
be interesting to see. I mean, I'm looking here at Michigan State's schedule. Seems like to me like once they get past Ohio State, they might just coast on to an undefeated season. They're not, you know, like I say, they're not. You know, as weak as this conference is, I'm looking at some of these games, and you know, I can see them going undefeated this year. So you know, like I said, I mean they're a good team. I mean they're a good team. I don't know if they're, you know, like I mean I don't know if they're a championship quality team, or whatever. But they're pretty much the best the Big Ten got to offer. You know.
Well, yeah, I don't see them as championship quality either. I mean, even with the schedule they have, it's not something that's like murderer's row, so to speak. But I think it is manageable.
Exactly.
They do have to go to Michigan. They do have to go to Wisconsin, and they got the home games against Ohio State and Nebraska. So.
And they have to go to Northwestern too, and that's not, I don't think that's a cakewalk for them right there. Northwestern, they play tough
Northwestern
a little
is
bit
at that point.
No, they got it looks like they got Northwestern at home.
No, they got to go to Northwestern. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong schedule.
They're at home against Northwestern.
Yeah, they just have to go to Michigan. They have to go to Wisconsin. But they're at home against Ohio State.
In that window, who you? In that Michigan Wisconsin game, who you like in that window?
You know which one? Michigan State Wisconsin or Michigan Wisconsin?
Oh, Michigan and Wisconsin.
Oh, I got Michigan on that one.
I got to take whoever against the Titans. They just lost to Oregon State. I mean, I got to take whoever against them.
I mean, the thing about that Oregon State game was, I mean, Wisconsin, what, they scored 6 points, right?
Seven,
I'm like, if they were only able to manage 6 points against, like, Oregon State, I mean, there's got to be something going on with the offense. And like somebody said before, they did lose, you know, a couple of key receivers from last year. They don't have Russell Wilson. The guy from Maryland is, you know, pretty much adjusting to Wisconsin's offense, and Monty Ball really didn't do much at all against Oregon State. So we got to see how they're looking, because right now it's not looking good for them.
Yeah, well, Russell Wilson made that offense last year. You know, he really made that off. Monty Ball, you know, he was able to do what he do. You know, Wisconsin's always going to have a good running game. They have for the past, you know, 15 years. But,
yeah,
you know,
true.
Russell
but
Wilson
also,
made
they
that
also had
last
a deep
year.
Team, too. They had a deep team, too. They only, not only did they have Monty Ball, they had another running back. They had Nick Pitts,
yeah,
another receiver, you know, a couple of reliable receivers and the tight end. So I think, you know, that team they had last year was, you know, pretty much, I think, built to be one of the most successful teams in the Big Ten that season.
Yeah, I could have this team. It looked ugly.
I'm saying I'm taking a look at Michigan State's schedule. So I guess you all think Michigan State's gonna blow by Notre Dame, but that's a game right there. Notre Dame, you know, might give them a little something. They've been.
It'll be a close game.
State will.
Notre Dame is a couple of quarters away from a quarterback controversy.
All right.
Notre Dame came in and they beat Purdue. So that's, I mean, it's Notre Dame, but they beat Purdue.
All right.
It was close.
Exactly.
All right, we gotta go to the next topic. We run out of time for college. I'm gonna put you on hold though, okay, James?
All right.
The next topic is real quick before we get into these predictions. Who do you think right now is the best player right now in college football mainstream? Who do you think is the best player in college football, Heisman Trophy front runner?
I had no comment on that yet. I still got to see more.
I think Matt Barkley. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that the trophy already has Matt on it right now. It's just waiting for the Barkley in a couple of games. So.
All right. I'm going to have to, unfortunately, I'll go with Matt Barkley right now.
What is unfortunate about
it? He don't like USC. That's why.
Yeah, why would that be unfortunate?
You know, I mean, his receivers probably make him look good, but, you know.
You just not sell on the guy, huh? You just not sell on the guy.
It's whatever, though. I mean, they're going to give it to the quarterback anyway. So I have to go with Matt Barkley right now. So now, what team do you think is under the radar that nobody's talking about?
I'm gonna go my first team.
My team is Tennessee. I think Tennessee is very good. I think, you know, Florida's gonna have their hands full this weekend. When they have to go up to Tennessee and play them, they may lose that game. So I got Tennessee.
Well, I'm looking this coming Saturday. A team I'm kind of saying not hearing too much hay on. I'm gonna say Stanford.
Okay, who you got, Kelly?
Say, see,
Stanford.
Or they make it close. If they make it close, then hey, you never gonna hear something more about them boys.
Well, from what I've seen, I gotta look at UCLA. They got a quality team. They finally got a quarterback. They got a running back. You know, they've been recruiting really well these past couple of years, and you know they got a good coach. So I'd have to go ahead and look at UCLA. You know, just from what I've seen, I haven't got to watch a lot of more of the lower profile games, but you know UCLA was looking really good.
Tex, what you got?
I'm gonna go ahead and say Florida. I know that, you know, Azale, I know you're not buying Florida. Okay, but they did. You like Jeff Driscoll, remember?
What did you say?
You like like Jeff Driscoll, remember?
I did like him.
You still do.
What'd you say?
So you still do.
I mean, long term, but like right now, they ain't playing worth nothing right now in terms of the quarterback position.
Okay, well, they go to Kyle Field, which is a tough place to play. SEC opener for A&M. The A&M showed me something. A&M muscled them for a little bit. Florida goes in, makes a halftime adjustment. Driscoll comes out, shows some poise. They score 10 points to win the game, and they shut A&M down. Impressive. On the road, again. I think Florida will continue to grow.
I'll give you that. I mean, I like the quarterback. I like Driscoll. 3rd and 4, he can run for the first down. But can he throw the ball? That's the key. He's a sophomore now. Usually you see flashes, you know. I like Jacoby Brissett better, but, you know, I'm sorry, what you about to say, Tex?
I don't think it's a thing where we ask if Driscoll can throw for that 3rd and 4 instead of running from it. I mean, instead of running for it, I think it's more when I watch him play, his decision making is suspect at times. That's a bigger issue more than anything, whether he can throw for this and that or can he run for this and that. It's mostly just his decision making and him just being calm and delivering the football. Things that he can get better at. But it's not all about, there's no question he can throw the rock. I just think he has to read the defense a little bit better. I think he has to take better care of the football, which he didn't do in the first half against Texas A&M, but he comes out, he calms down, and he's making plays in the second half.
You're right on that, though. That's the point. Like you said, decision-making, I mean, that's key. If you don't make good decisions, it don't matter how good your arm is. I mean, hey, that's a huge problem.
All right. Let me see what the call
is. But, Tex, I got a question on that. You think his decision-making is going to improve and get better?
Yeah, that's just what I said. That's why I got one of my under-the-radar teams.
I mean, like I said, he's just a sophomore, too, at that. So, I mean, he's still young.
Well, he grew up early. Still a little bit. He grew up.
And this is only going to be his 3rd game. So, I mean, we'll have this talk, I guess, going into, let's say, mid-October if he show improvement.
All right.
By that time, it's either he's going to kick it there or he's just going to have to wait and see again.
All right, let me go into the let me get the caller here. 850.
All right. Hey, Claudel, I think you pretty much told my answer on the team to watch out for. Neves, Hennessy. They will beat Florida this week, and I think they're going to be pretty much top 15 after that. And then watch out for them when they play Georgia on September 29th. They do have to go on the road for that, but if they do beat them, they will surely be a top 10 team by the time they play Alabama on that Saturday.
Do you think they can beat Alabama?
Not at this point. Not right now, no.
No, but do you think they'll be ready to beat Alabama? Because Alabama has to go there and play them. So do you think they can beat Alabama? Because I was on record saying they're not going to beat Arkansas, Tennessee, or LSU. They're going to lose to one of those 3 teams. So, do you think Tennessee could be that team that...
Well, in reference to Arkansas, you know I'm getting shot down for that because of their disappointment last week. So, Alabama is going to end up beating Arkansas this week, or else it would be really bad. And then by the time, you know, October 20th rolls around, if Tennessee's still undefeated, of course, the Neyland Stadium will be charged up for that. But Alabama has been proven to be a good road team. And with their running backs and their defense, all they have to do is pretty much control the clock and control the ball. So they're not really necessarily, you know, scared, or they wouldn't be, you know, favored to go in there and beat Tennessee. But it might be a pretty close game, though.
Okay. All right. Y'all got any comments on that?
I mean, I just say that's a rivalry between y'all two, Tennessee and Alabama. So sometimes they're off the records. Anything could go. But, you know, if Tennessee does beat Bama, That'll be a big boost for them boys. They might have a chance to, you know, definitely get in a bowl game, BCS bowl game maybe, with that momentum. But hey, I'm just saying, but hey, they're doing all right so far. They 2-0.
All right. I'm put you on hold, all right, James?
Right.
All right. Let me let this caller in. It's 413. 413, CMT Firestorm. 413. You there?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's going on? Jamal.
Yo, so, I'm sorry, are we still talking college?
Yeah, we still in college.
I'll leave NFL, my bad.
Okay, we're going to get to NFL pretty soon.
All right.
A few minutes. Yeah. One last thing. I'm going to go over these. Before we go to NFL, we got 5 minutes left for the hour. I want to know, let's go over some predictions. Who do you all have in the Florida versus Tennessee game this weekend? I'm going to start with you, Tex.
I got Florida.
You got Florida on the road against Tennessee.
Yeah. Great
game, though, right?
Yeah.
Who you got, Cali?
I'm gonna take Tennessee. Florida gotta show me they can win a big game like this. I'm gonna take Tennessee.
All right. Shotown, who you got?
I'm going with Tennessee. I want to see this quarterback we've been talking about, Bryce. I mean, it's a game. We talk about Florida's defense, you know, how good in the recruiting, the top they had. This is a big game for him, you know what I'm saying? If this man comes out and shows out against some boys, I mean, we had this conversation about him, you know, a couple weeks ago. He might be up there as a guy, you know, might increase his chances, you know, for that Heisman. So I think it's a big game for him. So I'm going to put the chips and stake on this guy to see what he can do. And also, Florida still got a young quarterback. He's going to be on the road. That stadium is huge and big, you know, how he's going to adapt to the noise. So he's just still a kid, young. So, you know, he's still growing up, you know, being a kid. So I don't know if he's ready, you know, for that big stage yet. So he's going to have to show me. But
yeah,
Tennessee.
I got Tennessee, too. I mean, even though I like Florida's defense, that's the key. Like, when I saw them play last year in the Swamp, you know, Bray still was looking pretty good, but he couldn't make the play. That was the big difference. He couldn't make the play, you know, to get them in the end zone. So Florida kind of won pretty handily, but Bray was moving the ball down the field. Let's just put it that way. Then the receiver got hurt, and then Tennessee's offense was kind of like non-existent, even though Bray was still moving the ball. But I think this year will be different, especially with the emergence of the new threat they have on the other end of the other side of the field. So I think Bray's going to have a pretty good game and sort of start getting into the Heisman conversation, getting into the NFL draft conversation too. Let's do the next game. All right, I guess this is going to be a clean sweep for you. Alabama versus Arkansas. Who you got? I got Alabama. Who you got?
Bama.
Cali.
If Tyler Wilson come back, it's not even going to be close. Even if he comes back, it's not going to be close. Arkansas is overrated.
I agree. I was
right.
Saying about Arkansas in the beginning that I don't think we're going to take steps back with Petrino being out. Bama, roll tide.
All right. USC at Stanford. USC at Stanford. This is prime time, too. Who do you got? Callie Mike, let's just get you out the way. Who you got?
It's going to be a tough game, but I'm going to go with the Trojans. Like I said, it's their year.
And Shotown, who you got?
Man, that's going to be a heck of a game. You know, Stanford, you know, caused some hay on USC, getting them, you know, a couple years ago like that, and that streak they had. Man, I agree with Callie Mike. That's going to be a game right there, man, but USC, the talk of them being the team, you know, number one, Matt Barkley this year and all that. It's the game. They got to win, so I'm going with USC.
Well,
but
let me expound on that a little bit, too. Stanford has beaten UCLA 3 years in a row. Matt Barkley has never beaten Stanford. Really, he never beat Andrew Luck. But, you know, like I said, a lot of those wins, the last-minute field goal in 2010, you know, it was a triple overtime last year. And, you know, like I said, USC is going to be fired up for this game. They're going to want to punish these guys. And without Andrew Luck back there, you know, I can see this game, you know, definitely going in USC's favor.
Like Mike said, they're going to have to pop their collar. They're definitely going to be popping their collar now. Remember what Stanford has done to them. So them boys better have their collar popped. I'm popping that collar.
All right, USC.
All right. Notre Dame, Michigan State, who you got?
Michigan State.
Not Michigan, no, Notre Dame, Michigan. Not Michigan State, I'm sorry, Michigan.
Yeah, you had it right, Notre Dame and Michigan State playing.
Yeah, Michigan State.
Oh, Michigan State, I'm sorry, yeah, Michigan State, who you got?
Michigan State.
Michigan State.
I got to go with Sparty, too.
All right, I got Sparty, too. No, I'm sorry. I got Notre Dame. No, I got Michigan. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. I'm looking at my predictions here. So let me get these last. Let me see what 850 has to say on these predictions real quick. 850, who do you have?
All right, we're trying to go quick here. First game was Tennessee, Florida. I got Tennessee, but they got to watch out for Achilles Lee in the offensive line of Florida. Second game, I already said that. I'm like, come on, man. Arkansas better not win that game. All right, and then next game you had, Stanford, USC. USC is going to have to show out on them, especially since the Stanford club did struggle against San Jose State a couple of weeks ago. And the last one, Michigan State, Notre Dame. I got Michigan State.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm going to put you on hold. And what we're going to have to do is we're going to take like a one-minute break here. Then we're going to get to the NFL coverage.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe, football.
So old timers, do you remember the names like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff, in the snow and the mud, they were still real tough, Crazy Leg Church, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Perry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore, is them I adore, they seem to always score, Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years, Gene Big Daddy, Liston was a man to fear, you have Steve Van Buren, and Otto Graham, Johnny United had the arm of a Superman, we had Charlie Trippi, and Gino Marquette, if you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. With Oscar quarterback, like Johnny Lou Jack, or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Ally Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe.
All right, we are back. CNT Firestorm, if you want to call in, 347-237-5539. It's Carson Mathis. The first topic we want to get into the NFL, and this is the buzzing topic around the league right now, and three letters, RG3. Okay, he showed his debut this weekend, and, you know, he took the NFL by buzz. I mean, he's the NFL Offensive Player of the Week in his first start in the NFL. Isn't that something? So I guess the question is, what does that say about him? Is this going to be a blip, or is this going to be a trend throughout this year, not necessarily his career, because we can see big things during his career, but in terms of this season, is he going to be a top 10 quarterback this season? I'm going to start with you, Tex.
I think RG3 performed well in a ruckus building, formidable opponent, but let's not get it twisted. The Saints' defense is kind of weak as compared to what Andrew Luck faced I think RG3 did well, but it's probably his first 6, 7, 8 balls didn't even pass the line of scrimmage. So I thought Shanahan and coaching staff, I thought they did a good job of putting him in a position early to be successful. And his confidence grew and kind of late. And late in the game, they got a little aggressive. And you can't forget Shanahan is, I think it might be in his last 8 openers, I think he might be 7-1, or in his last 7, he's like 7-0. So, it's, you know, you think about that, and it's no surprise that Washington, you know, they go to New Orleans and they go in.
Callie, what you think?
I agree with what Tech said. You know, the coaches, you know, they put RG3 in a situation to succeed. And I think a lot of times coaches, you know, they don't do that, especially a young quarterback. But, you know, like I said, the kid can play, man. I mean, you know, take words from Dennis Green. You know, he is what I thought he was. You know, he's a big-time quarterback with a big arm, you know, and he can play football. I mean, everybody, you know, had these questions and comparisons, you know, between him and other quarterbacks. And, you know, but, I mean, he's, you know, he's his own quarterback. You know, yes, he you know, he's athletic, but, you know, other, you know, he can throw, man. He's got an arm. This is the quarterback who, you know, last year in his senior year, at one point, had, you know, downs and incompletions. You know, I mean, this dude, you know, he's a baller, you know. So, I mean, like I said, I wasn't, you know, I was surprised maybe in defense, but I wasn't surprised that, you know, if you give a quarterback like RG3 a chance to exploit you, and, you know, he's gonna take that to run with it.
All right, Shatan, what you think?
Well, I saw a comparison on our page, the TMT Firestone page, between who's going to be better pro prospect. Is it Cam Newton or RG3? I mean, they both are good. RG3 is dynamic. Hold on the papers about, you know, is he going to be a top 10 quarterback? I mean, you know, he's still a rookie quarterback. He's going to go through his pain. I didn't think Cam Newton was going to have a, you know, great year he had last year, you know, over 4,000 something yards being a rookie, but that's Cam Newton. And of course, everybody's going to compare it saying, well, Cam Newton did it. RG3 should be able to do it. So, I mean, right now, I mean, yeah, he's just a rookie. He's going to be a phenomenal quarterback. And this time, he's going to be a top 5 quarterback, maybe top 3. I mean, he has the skills, like Cali Mike said and Tech said. I mean, he's going to be a heck of a quarterback. And he also did, I agree with Tech, the Saints defense is not as strong and good, you know.
Do you think this is like sort of opening the doors even wider for black quarterbacks in a sense, because they see Cam Newton do real well, now they see RG3 do well? So could it be a player like Geno Smith? Could he be like the number one pick in the draft or something like that? You know, do you think that could
be? I think the door has been opening when Michael Vick came in.
Yeah, but Michael Vick was more of an athletic kind of a guy. He never was really respected for his arm until recently, whereas people like Cam Newton and RG3, I mean, don't get me wrong, you have the Warren Moons, even I'll go back with Doug Williams and Joe Gilliam and things like that, but, you know, to be such a high draft pick and then just make an impact, like, just immediate, the way they did, I mean, do you think
I think that a lot of those doors we were really getting closed because of the athleticism, because a lot of times they would take, you know, a guy like a Michael Vick and try to make him into a wide receiver or, you know, a running back instead of taking the time to develop him into a quarterback, which really, I think if he would have had more, you know, more time to develop that, you know, early in his career, I think he'd be even a better quarterback. You know, he would have reached the stage he is now, you know, 4 or 5 years ago without the dog fighting, all that confusion. But you guys, you know, now that you have an offense that's suited for these guys, you know, you're going to have more, you know, RG3s and Geno Smiths. And Cam Newton's on another level. Cam Newton is Superman. He's, you know, I can't even put, you know, like I say, he's on another level. But, you know, like I say, you got these RG3s and Geno Smith cats who are going to, you know, who are going to come out there. And, you know, since you got, you know, a lot of moving pockets, you know, and things like that, you know, it's not going to so much matter as standing tall in the pocket and, you know, being able to see over, you know, 6'7", you know, offensive tackles is going to be more about mobility and, you know, actually really more about playmaking too. As you can see, with Russell Wilson taking over the starting spot in Seattle. You know, so I think, like I said, I think the window has always been there. I think that the system is gonna, you know, is gonna finally start altering itself to play towards those talents. You know.
And do you think I say Tim Tebow has something to do with that? But that's just another conversation in itself.
Y'all heard this? I mean, I saw this today. Matter of fact, John Madden has said, I don't know who quoted, but it was saying that he was saying RG3 is a Tim Tebow with a better arm.
Huh. Hey, we got this caller in. He's been waiting for a while.
I don't disagree with that.
Let me put this caller in real quick. 413.
Yeah, I think this point was made earlier about the coaches taking time to develop some of the black quarterbacks a little bit better now. I think that's correct. I think that, you know, even as late as Michael Vick coming into the league, you had coaches who didn't really know how to handle and how to develop an athletic quarterback and how to develop not necessarily their arm strength, but their abilities to read coverages. I think what you're seeing now, even at the college ranks, folks like RG3 in the NFL now, Geno Smith in college, you're seeing coaches at the college ranks who are developing more of what we call the smarts of the quarterback position, you know, the ability to read coverages, ability to not be tricked by coverages that are, you know, like, you know, cover two, moving to a cover three at the snap, like that kind of stuff. We're seeing quarterbacks being developed in that way. And so you're seeing a combination of the athleticism plus the ability to read a defense coming together now.
That's very true. I think, like I said, I completely agree with that caller. I think that's a good point. You got these, you know, like I said, if the system is finally, you know, it's finally catching up with it. It's kind of sad because, you know, you had a whole generation of quarterbacks, you know, who didn't get that kind of tutelage. You know, you had, you know, guys like Michael Bishop, you know, who never really got to, you know, fully develop their skills as playing quarterback, who really could have, you know, been something really special. But, you know, like I say, it's gonna be pretty much wide open. I mean, you're still gonna have, you know, your classic quarterbacks. It's never gonna change about football, you know, because basically, you know, arm strength and accuracy are always gonna make a quarterback. But, you know, now you got these different things that come into play, you know, athleticism, you know, leadership, you know, and you know, playmaking ability that are gonna, you know, only be bonuses, you know, if you can, you know, throw an accurate ball.
Okay. Well, let me put you on hold, 413. Let me put 850. 850.
All right.
MC Fire Storm.
All right. We're talking about TRG3, and up here in, like, DMV, it seems like everybody's been so excited about this dude since they really had no good quarterback since Mark Rippon took the helm. But in reference to the first game, there were, like, many facets to it. Yeah, they were successful because of two main things. One, because the caller said before, the Saints' defense wasn't really, you know, anything wanted for the Redskins to go after. Teams have been able to throw on them for seasons. And the other thing was their playbook. Kyle Shanahan pretty much put in a system that, you know, pretty much got the ball out of his hands pretty much within 2 seconds after the snap. So it's like after 2 seconds, boom, ball gone, boom, ball gone. So it's not like, you know, the Saints were able to get a good blitz on him because he was already getting rid of the ball. So they already had, you know, their system in place, able to work with that system to get the ball out of his hands, boom, boom, boom. And they would be able to be successful with that. So we're going to wait and see to see if that type of system give some success like, you know, Cam Newton had last year. I mean, Cam Newton had 4,000 yards passing last year. I don't know if that's going to happen with RG3, but he'll probably be pretty successful. I don't know about 4,000 yards, though.
Okay. He's a future Hall. I'm not going to go future Hall of Famer, but he looks like he's going to be on that route. I mean, he looks like he's going to be a perennial All-Pro. He looks like he could win a Super Bowl. Now, do I think the Redskins are going to make the playoffs this year? I doubt that. But do I think they can go 7-9? Probably. I think they can go
7-9. Yeah, that's possible. Do you think they'll make it, like, by next year?
I don't know. It all depends. They probably could. I think he's the type of player that can take them over the hump. I don't think he's just...
East is very competitive, though. I mean, that's a very competitive conference, though, the NFC East. I mean, I should say that division. I'll say RG3, I mean... If they get him the players around and build, then yeah, he could. But it's all about management. And how they draft. If they get some players around him on that offense and have a good defense, then yeah, he can get a Super Bowl. But it's all on the management.
And I see how far the management is.
I'm questionable about that, but we'll see.
That's a good point, Mike. That's just
what I was about to say. A lot of times you get mobile quarterbacks on these teams and they show potential, but then the team doesn't really build around them, you know, for some years. You know, we've seen it with Donovan McNabb up in Philly. You know, we're looking at it with Vic down in Atlanta. You know, hopefully they keep giving him the tools that he can succeed with, you know, and just make him, you know, have to start relying on running or making big plays every play. You know, like I said, you have to put him in a position to win to where he can still grow as a quarterback, so he's still going to keep growing. He's not, you know, anywhere near where he's going to be as a finished product if he's still allowed to keep maturing in his game.
Okay. That's for sure on that, Mike, because Donovan McNabb, you know, like me and Mike had this conversation a while ago. I mean, he's a guy people are not going to really maybe mention and talk about him. Really, Donovan McNabb was a bad quarterback. You know, he was bad. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, this man never had a receiver like Peyton Manning had, Marvin Harrison and Wayne. I mean, man never had a 1,000, other than, you could say, a year and a half. This picture of this man had some receivers. But Eagles management never gave that man the receivers. Now Michael Vick has it. But the guys who had the receivers, the Vick has, then McNabb would definitely have won some Super Bowls.
I look at him as the closest comparison to RG3, too, rather than Michael Vick. I think he's more of a McNabb kind of quarterback.
Who, RG3? The RG3 is more like McNabb.
Yeah, and then Vick.
All right, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah, I agree, because his arm, he got the better, you know, accuracy. I mean, the arm strength, I mean, of throwing, and he's already showing that, so I agree.
All right, well, let me go to the next topic here, and that's on week one, we saw the teams play. Who did you think was the most impressive team? I'm going to start with you, Shotdown. Who do you thought?
You saying who was the most impressive team?
That you saw week one.
Of course, I'm going to go with my Bears.
Oh, my God.
All right. With the offense we was doing the first game, we start off kind of slow, but we got it going. So, hey, I mean, I'm
Andrew
impressed
Luck,
with
right?
them.
Just Andrew Luck, right?
But still, it was a game, you know, it was a show, you know, case of what we did. But the team I give props to, which I say another team I saw footage of, but I didn't see all of the game. I give San Francisco 49ers props. I didn't think it was going to be Green Bay.
There was the most impressive team in week one. 49ers go cross country all the way to Lambeau. The game really wasn't as close. I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't play that bad, but the game wasn't as close as it ended up being. And as I sat back and I watched that game, I watched an offense that I didn't see last year. The playbook is definitely in play with San Francisco, and I looked at the defense. I didn't see the same defense I saw last year. So their playbook is wide open. I think Frisco has probably the most complete roster in the NFL, if it's not the Houston Texans. But Frisco was impressive. I mean, they look like a totally, totally different team. And go ahead.
So, Tex, do you think their defense from right now is better than this year's defense is better than last year's so far?
Yeah. Returning all 11 starters, and now you're actually running your playbook because you had an off season, as compared to last year when you didn't have an off season. Yeah, they're better.
That's true. That makes sense.
All right, Callie, Mike, who you got? I already got an idea who you got, but who you got?
Well, like I say, as a Niner fan, you know, I can't, you know,
they really didn't surprise me because, like I say, sometimes they are who you think they are. I thought they were going to beat Green Bay. I'll say keep an eye on Aldo Smith, though. He's an excellent player, and I think he's going to have big things ahead of him. I think he's going to be the next DeMarcus Ware. But I would have to look at the New York Jets for a team that everybody was talking about and saying their offense was going to be sputtering. They almost put up 50 Buffalo Bills, who have a lot of defense. So I got to look at the Jets, and you know, like I said, Mark Sanchez was tight. You know, they played a good game. Also, like I said, I got to give a shout out to Denver too, because I didn't think Peyton Manning would come back that polished. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was no surprise.
We're gonna get into that in a minute. We're gonna get into
that. That was big. I was like, wow. For the first game, I didn't think he was gonna be like, wow, he was just on it, you know.
Well, for me, unfortunately, I'm going to have to say the San Francisco 49ers. I mean,
unfortunate about that.
Clausel scared the 49ers.
Well, is that unfortunate? They won and the Giants lost.
The first game of the year. Okay. Hey, you know what? I'm an analyst right now. I can't be a fan. So the point I'm making is, yeah, when you see a defense play like that, you know, the guy said on SportsCenter, those Green Bay receivers, they didn't want to go across that middle. They knew they were going to get knocked out if they came across that middle. So, and he said that's the best defense he's seen since the 2000 Ravens. So, since the 2000 Ravens. He's not saying they're better than the 2000 Ravens, but it's the best defense he's seen since the 2000 Ravens.
Hey, what analyst said this?
What's the guy's name? I can't think of his name right now. He used to play for the Giants. The linebacker.
Oh, you talking about Jesse Armstead?
No. He played with the 07 Giants.
You said he plays with Oakland?
No, he played for the Giants. He's an ESPN analyst right now.
You talking about Antonio Pierce?
Yeah, Antonio Pierce. So I think San Francisco, but you know, like I said, like I told Mike on Facebook a while ago. I mean, they were better than the Giants last year, but it all boiled down to Alex Smith. I mean, can he win you the game when you need Alex Smith? I'm not 100% convinced of that. So
I agree with you on some way.
They're probably at home field advantage. They'll probably be the best team in the league all year. They'll probably have the best record. They'll probably have home field advantage. But if you have a team like the Giants that gets hot, that can score the ball, and when you need Alex Smith to do something for you, will he do it? I'm not 100% convinced of that yet. So
I agree with you to some extent on that, Clausel, but in that NFC Championship game, I was going and saying that, but really, I'm not going to put that on Alex Smith. I think those turnovers.
Really?
Those turnovers cost the 49ers that game.
I'm going to go out and say this. They won't even have to worry about playing the Giants because the Giants ain't going to be in that game. And they might not make the playoffs, so don't have to worry about that.
I'm an analyst right now, but we can go a little later.
I got the Giants as a wild card.
Did you analyze game one of what Dallas did to them?
okay. I'm going to go to a call right now. I got a caller. 413. Hello?
Yes, I agree with Cali Mike. Can you hear me? Hello?
He's calling us today.
Hello?
Excellent.
Hello?
Are we here?
Yeah, we
can.
Hello? Okay, sorry. So the 49ers, I think, are the obvious answer to the question, especially given the fact that when you look at the game, it looked like Patrick Willis wasn't even their best linebacker in that game. I think Navarro Bowman might actually be a better linebacker than Patrick Willis, as crazy as that sounds. But another team that, I guess, impressed me, at least on offense, was the Atlanta Falcons. I know that nobody's really looking at the Kansas City Chiefs as being a tough defense or anything like that, but it looked like Julio Jones is actually going to step up and be the physical presence as the other receiver and probably take over.
Say it again, Julio receiver. Jones, top five receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he's
boosting
them.
I mean, them boys scored 40 like that on the road. Like, wow, I thought the game was in Atlanta, and I saw it on TV. Like, wow, they was in Kansas City and scored 40 on them like that? Wow.
Yeah, it was they're impressed. Looked like Matt Ryan looks like he may be able to take the next step that everybody keeps expecting him to take. We're not there yet, but, I mean, it looks like he's at least willing to throw the rock around a little bit more with a little more confidence than he has in the past. Between Atlanta and San Francisco, those are the two teams that impressed me.
I'll say this about Matt Ryan, though. I guess he kind of had the stigma between him, but I guess he don't get as much, you know, talk much about compared to what Tony Romo, since Romo played for the Cowboys. But, I mean, Matt Ryan still hasn't won a playoff game, though. That's the only thing. I think he's a talented quarterback, but I think for him to get that notoriety, he's going to have to win a playoff game. He so far hasn't won a playoff game.
No, I agree. I don't think he's there yet. He has to prove it at that point. But I think it's time to prove it now
because he's been in the league now past, you know, ain't this Matt Ryan's fifth year in the league? So, I mean, it's time now,
and,
you know?
And you know what? It's all a process. Every single year Matt Ryan has been in the NFL, he's gotten better.
Would you all put Matt Ryan, let's say if he lives up to everything, would you think Matt Ryan could be a top five quarterback?
I don't know if he can be top five, but what I'm saying is he gets better every year.
So far having a new offensive coordinator scoring 40 points like that in a row, I'm saying something right there, though.
And truth be told, I don't know if he may not have to be a top quarterback as far as all the total package because he has the weapons. He has two receivers who – he may have the best receiver package in the NFL right now. All he has to do is get them the ball and play with some confidence.
I mean,
it's true.
Roddy, you can't go wrong with them two.
And he feels like Michael Turner in the backfield to stand it off.
I got a caller coming in here. Let me put you on hold, 413.
Yep.
850.
All right. As far as like the teams that surprised me or pretty much impressed me, I'm going to go with a couple teams that were mentioned already, one by Cali Mike and one by Chi-Town, and that's the 49ers with their impressive win over the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears in reference to their offense. I know people are doubting them. I think it was Cali Mike that pretty much got on Chi-Town for the Bears, but I think wasn't it last year they were 6-2 before Jay Cutler got hurt?
And then they had 7-3.
That was back then? All right. But they had they were doing pretty well last season. And now they got, you know, pretty much Jay Cutler in full strength, and then they got Brandon Marshall. And that 1-2 punch is going to be very, very lethal for the rest of the NFL, and the Packers better watch out on Thursday night for that. And one more team is the Baltimore Ravens. Along with the San Francisco 49ers, I have the Baltimore Ravens as my pick to be in the Super Bowl. I think their roster pretty much is ready to make the next step over the Houston Texans. I'm still not sold on Houston with their quarterback and the second receiver for the Texans. I still don't know who's going to step up for them. So I still have the Ravens favorite over the Houston Texans in the AFC.
Well, Carl, I got a question, though. I mean, we just had a talk about where, you know, Clausell was mentioning about Alex Smith, that he's not sold all the way for him. I'm still not sold. I mean,
Who you say you're not sold on?
He was talking about, I'm just bringing an example, what Clausell was saying about Alex Smith not being sold on doing it. I'm not sold on Joe Flacco.
The thing about it is Joe Flacco has been in the playoffs every single year, and he has at least one game once. You know, he's pretty much entered the playoffs. You still got to score points, man. It's not the defense that's pretty much scored all those points against Houston last season in the playoffs. So you gotta understand. I mean, they still have the same makeup as like the San Francisco 49ers. You got a good running back.
He got good receivers. Actually, Baltimore has better receivers than San Francisco, and he got a reliable defense.
I'm talking about Flacco going against, you know, going against, say, you know, Big Ben Roethlisberger, or going against Brady, you know, battling, you know, their defense facing a quarterback that's, you know, a top five quarterback, who's a guy who can make big plays down and stretch.
Do you think that Houston is that type of defense, though? The thing about the Ravens going against someone like the Steelers or the Patriots is Steelers are familiar with them. See what I mean? So when you have Ravens Steelers, you don't get 17, 14, 2017 games all day, every day, because they know that team. Now,
but
Texans, on the other hand, you might not get that. You see what I mean?
But I was going back, you know, a few years ago when they was in the AFC Championship, when they had that game against the Steelers. You know, Big Ben came. They had a little
years,
Big Ben.
Two
Big
years
Ben
ago.
Came to make plays. When Big Ben had made some plays, you know, I'm looking at. You know, I'm just saying, in that big game, big moment, I haven't seen that in Joe Flacco in those type of games. And I'm talking about.
Well, you haven't seen that in Joe Flacco yet, but of course you go see it at Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger pretty much won a Super Bowl title in his first year in the league. So I mean, he had the team. He had the team and the coaching around him in order to be poised and things like that in the pocket. Joe Flacco pretty much hadn't built that yet.
But Flacco has the same coach since he's been in the league, though. And Harbaugh, I mean, I take that back. He's a special teams coach. But still, he had the same coach since he's been in the league, though. And this team, every year, everybody say, yeah, Baltimore's going to go all the way, this and that.
But here's the thing
all,
about
they
it.
Did you see
Baltimore with this type of offense?
I mean, they came in and scored points and stuff. I saw that Cincinnati game, and Harbaugh was saying, yeah, Flacco's a great quarterback. He's, you know, top five, you know, this and that. I'm like, nah, he's just boosting the kid up. I don't think Flacco's a top five quarterback. I wouldn't even say he's a great quarterback.
I wouldn't say he's a top five quarterback either, but around top 10 or so, we're talking about the NFL, so you have to really name those 10 quarterbacks for one. And for two, you still got this offense. I mean, that offense looked really good on Monday night, and he had multiple weapons he could choose from. And you utilize, you know, the running back, you utilize the tight end, you utilize Torrey Smith and all that. So, I mean, now you're going to see how they're going to work out in that new no-huddle offense and utilizing Ray Rice at the same time.
I say this, if they clicking like this going all the way to December and January, then maybe I can see something, notice on them. But until then, it is what it is. He has to show
me
more.
Well, hold on. We got less than 30 minutes left now. Let me put you on hold, James, 850, and we gotta move to the next topic real quick. The next topic is overrated. Who's the most overrated team you saw on week one? Let me just get you out the way, Cali Mike. Who you got?
Overrated? I don't know, man. I saw a lot of bad teams play this weekend. I would say the Titans, except for they had a rookie quarterback starting. But I'll say this: the Titans were the most disappointing team to me. I didn't, you know, I was disappointed in Chris Johnson. I was disappointed, you know, just in their overall game. It was really disappointing to me. Also, like I say, Buffalo. A lot of people expected them to be really good and be a contender this year, and the Jets. You know, the Jets put them on their butt. So I don't know if that's more of a tribute to Buffalo being overrated as it is to the Jets being good, you know, like I thought they might be. So I'd have to go with either one of those two.
Well, obviously, I'm going with the Eagles. I mean, the way, even though Michael Vick almost had 300 yards, I think he had a little bit over or something, I don't know, and they won the game, but, I mean, he did not play good.
And interceptions in that one.
And on a side note, even though Cleveland is the worst team in the league, did y'all see that hit that Trent Richardson did, ran over that Eagles player?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh man, it's a ferocious hit.
I didn't watch just one game to honor an Alabama player.
What did you want to say? That was the hit of the week right there.
I saw a better hit by Mark Barron.
Okay, I didn't see it, but that was just some nasty stuff I saw Trent Richardson do. But that's another conversation in itself. But I'm gonna have to say Philly because I just did not like the way they played against Cleveland. Cleveland is a horrible team. They should have came in there and dominated, and they didn't dominate. Even though I understand this is the NFL. And what I mean by dominate is, you know, win by like 10, 15 points, you know, that type of thing. That didn't impress me with Philly. So who's next? Tex, who you got?
Actually, quite a few teams, but if I'm having to go with somebody, I have to go with the Jets. They'll still have the same O-line issues. I don't know what Buffalo's problem was. I think Buffalo is better defensively than what they put out against the Jets. I think the Jets might end up having probably the best defense in the NFL. No less than a top four defense. But I'm not a buyer on the Jets yet, as far as a team is concerned. Not buying into the offense. I mean, I know they put 48 points up on the board, but I think that's more Buffalo just for whatever reason not coming to play. I mean, Jets and offense is not synonymous. It never has been, so it starts now. I don't believe it. And like I said, they still have the same O-line issues.
All right. Shasta, who you got?
Well, some people had them making the playoffs and get beat like that on the first game and at home like that. Not to say they weren't at home. They was on the road. Like, wow. And then Philadelphia, I agree. I mean, I saw Cleveland had beat Philly, but then I saw the score, like, wow. I mean, Philadelphia, you know, a lot of people, picked to go to the Super Bowl, definitely a contender. You know, Cleveland, you know, come on, you got to come out better than that. You know, they was on the road. They should have smoked Cleveland. But really, my disappointed team is the New Orleans Saints. I got them still winning the NFC South, but, man, you know, lose to a quarterback and, you know, seemed like, you know, it seemed like they wasn't into it at first. Like, I mean, that was a shock, but, you know, they came, made it a little bit closer to the end, but still, you know, to get beat like that at home, like, man, I'm kind of disappointed in it.
All right.
And Drew Brees had one of his worst completed percentages in that game too. So he definitely, now when, you know, I guess it's gonna be talk all season, he definitely misses right hand man Sean Payton.
All right, hold up. We got this caller in, we got this new caller in. 865.
What's up, fellas? It's Tony Watley. Sorry I got in so late. I was really busy. I just want to tell all you crazy people that did all that talking about Arkansas last week. Ha! Anyway, my most disappointing team this week was the Denver Broncos. Why? You had a team that has a defense with four players missing and their starting running back missing, and everybody wants to kiss Peyton Manning's butt. They suck, and they will suck through the rest of the year. They took advantage of a week one hurt team, and everybody wants to already put them in the Super Bowl. They're not as good as your mama's telling you.
All right. Interesting. So what should I think about that? Tex, what do you think about him saying that?
Let me ask him this. Are you surprised? Tony, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You surprised? Are you surprised by what Peyton Manning was able to do, though?
No, Peyton Manning is Peyton Manning. When you have that no-huddle offense, you're going to get that defense tired. And when you've got two or three starters, and you're in Mile High Stadium on week one where people have not played a whole game for 4 months, you're going to run that defense to death. So,
this is a quarterback that ain't played football in over a year and who came back from almost a career
ending injury.
What does Peyton
Manning have to do to stand in the back and throw? He's a pocket quarterback. He don't go running around all the time. It ain't like he's using a lot of energy.
That's easy?
It's easier than the defense having to run after him every single down for four quarters.
Well, run after him. I mean, take a look at the time of possession. How long were they? How long were they running after Peyton Manning? How long were they running after him? I guarantee you, T.O.P. was plus 15 for Pittsburgh. I promise you that.
Do what?
I promise you, the Broncos' offense wasn't on the field that long. And with the Steelers, the system always supersedes the players. So we can't sit here and be like, okay, they mentioned Ryan Clark. They're not going to bring it. Okay, they're missing James Harrison, and who has lost a step or two, by the way, and say that they're not going to bring it. The Steelers weren't bad. I mean, the Broncos should have had two more touchdowns than what they had. I mean, it's hard to see.
When you don't have a running back, they automatically know you're going to throw the ball. That's why the interception happened at the end of the game. When you know you got to score and you know they don't have a running back, you leave the field wide open. You know they got to throw the ball. They got to score a touchdown. So they're just waiting for him to throw the ball. That's what happened for them to lose the Super Bowl, and that is what happened to them last night. When you get yourself in a throwing situation, people, they're not stupid, the professionals. They know what's about to happen.
Tony,
so
since
no credit is due to Denver. They're just overrated.
They're overrated. They won't right, even make
on,
the playoffs.
We got to – hold on. I got to get this other call in. I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
All right.
413.
Yeah.
413. Yeah.
As an Eagles fan, I got to agree that the Eagles were the most disappointing team this past weekend, not necessarily because of the lethargic nature that Vic played, because he definitely did. I'm more disappointed in the fact that the game plan was for Michael Vick to throw 56 times. That doesn't make any sense. There's no game plan. There's no outcome that is successful. Almost no outcome that is successful with Michael Vick throwing the ball 56 times.
Not even on that.
Exactly. I mean, that doesn't make sense. You have LeSean McCoy in the backfield. He still got his yard, but he should have had 7-8 more carries. They should have dispersed the ball a little bit more. Should have run the ball a little bit more. That was by far. I mean, they got the win. Michael Vick came back at the end, led the 91-yard drive, won the game, almost threw the interception at the end. You know, we all saw what happened, but you know, by far, and maybe I'm just biased because I'm an Eagles fan, but by far they were the most disappointing team this past weekend.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what's up with McCoy? Is he, you know, he hurt or something? Or he 100% or what? I mean, you got him.
He ran for 100 yards. He ran for 100 yards, McCoy.
He had 120 yards. I mean, when he got the ball, he averaged like 5-point-something yards per carry. The Eagles just, it's Andy Reid. He's never been a good play caller. You know, he's never been able to build, you know, based what's going on in the fourth quarter or off of what he was running in the first quarter. You know, he doesn't plan that way. He just wants to throw the ball. He thinks you can throw the ball all the time and be successful. He saw him at NAB. He's done it. He has a track record of it at this point. So he's good at developing quarterbacks, but as far as a play caller, he's not good.
So, man, you think Marty Mornaway wasn't calling that game? You think Reed was calling the whole game for that one? Because, you know,
ultimately – Andy Reid is the head coach. Ultimately, Andy Reid is an offensive-minded coach. So whatever the game plan was, you know, if Morning Wig developed it passed the approval of Andy Reid. And you saw in the interviews after the game, Andy Reid, you know, basically said this was the game plan. This is what we were going to try to do because we thought we could exploit Cleveland's passing defense, which is silly because if you look at last season, Cleveland was like the second-rated pass defense in the league. And 30th against the run. So I don't know what you think you're exploiting in the pass game, but, you know, they got the win.
Yeah.
You get the win, but.
All right. We running short on time. We got to get through these topics. And let me put you on hold, okay?
Yep.
850.
All right. Since you're going to go to the next topic, I'm going to make mine quick. Overrated team, I would say, is the San Diego Not-So-Superchargers. They played the Oakland Raiders, who really looked anemic on offense. And San Diego, in turn, was only able to score one offensive touchdown in the game. Sure, they didn't have Ryan Matthews in the backfield, but you should have still had enough weapons to score more than one touchdown in that game.
right.
Oakland's not a bad team, though. I'll say that. But I know where you're coming from, but Oakland's not a bad team.
Yeah, because you got Mike. Mike has them winning the division.
Who, the Chargers?
Yeah. Mike has them winning the AFC West.
All right, calm down, Mike.
Then you, hey, Mike, didn't you say you had the Raiders? Remember the time we were picking? You said you had the Raiders winning the AFC West.
That sounds a little bit made up, Mike. Let's move on.
I thought you had said that, Mike. I thought you said it, Mike. So you know you said it. You said, I got the Raiders.
Let's not get into who said what.
Hey, I'm putting you on hold. We got to move on to the next topic. Real quick. That does sound like something you would say, though, Cali, Mike. But anyway, I want to go to – I know Tony Watley, he said that Denver's overrated, but I guess that kind of led to my next question in regards to Peyton Manning. Is he back based on what you saw in the game?
Yeah, he back, man. I mean, I kind of get where Tony coming from with some things he was saying and what the guys were saying. I mean, yeah, he wasn't running around his mile high, you know, the first game. I mean, it was a lot, but, you know, I mean, he came and played, you know. They won the game. And, you know, it was a close game, which I pretty figured it was, so I'm not surprised of the outcome. You know, you got Big Ben and Peyton Manning, you know, two of the top quarterbacks, you know, in the NFL, you know, franchise quarterbacks. So I knew it was going to be a close game.
Well, I mean, I don't think he's going to ever be Peyton Manning again, but – you know, he's going to be a franchise quarterback for another 3 years. I mean, he'll probably make a Pro Bowl or maybe two. You know,
so you saying he's not Peyton? So you saying he's not Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning.
Well, I mean, that's going to come. That's going to come
really
just because of age anyway. I mean, the man is getting older. He's been playing basketball. He's been playing football for what? Almost what is? It's over 20 years. I mean, almost 20 years now.
1998. Been in the league since 98.
Yeah, 15 years, you know. So, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, he's gonna slow down with age eventually. You know,
that's
so
what happens to everybody.
You know, exactly. So, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to be, you know, the four-time MVP Peyton Manning. But like I say, average Peyton Manning is above average quarterback. So, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Is he a top five quarterback for the next 3 years?
Why not? Well, I mean, the other thing, you know, I want to say about this top five quarterback thing, you guys have to look at the situation we're in where you have a top five quarterbacks that are all probably pretty much going to the Hall of Fame. So you really can't, you know, it's not really top five. I'd say we need to start looking more like top 10, top, you know, because like I said, the top five guys are pretty much all Hall of Famers. You know, you look at, you know, Drew Brees, and, you know, Tom Brady, Manning, you know, Rodgers. I mean, those, you know, like I said, so it's not really, you know, cracking the top five anymore. I look at quarterbacks as good. Exactly. I look at quarterbacks. Well, I'm not a Big Ben fan, but I look at quarterbacks to be good if they can crack the top 10, top 15, really.
Tell you what, Peyton Manning won't throw for any less than 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns this year.
Wow, that's some strong statement.
And if he do or come close to it, even if he's, you know, around that range or not even hit it, I mean, it's still remarkable being out for a year and to do that, and, you know, playing in Denver, he got new toys and pretty much. Young, you know, young, inexperienced guys that's working with him, I mean, that's still impressive, you know?
That's pretty steep, but he is going to be playing some pretty weak defenses this year, too. So,
we'll see.
Like I say, once he gets that AFC West, you know, that's a good conference.
All right, let's see what the callers have to say here.
Like I said,
quick,
the Broncos, I have them as a wild card, though, so, hey, I'm not surprised.
Let's see what the caller has to say. 865, real quick.
Boy, you know what? I love hearing all this bromancing with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning sucks. He might be a number statistic quarterback, but I have been with Peyton Manning since he was at the University of Tennessee. I'm from Knoxville. And in the tight times, when it counts, Peyton Manning sucks. He lost all 4 years to Florida, and every time he gets in a tight situation in the playoffs, he screws up. The only reason they won the Super Bowl they won is because his defense won the Super Bowl. He didn't win it. Peyton Manning sucks under pressure. I don't care what his stats say. And I'm telling you, they ain't making the playoffs.
Yeah, Super Bowl, though. He really, I mean, of course, he was going to get the MVP.
Hold on. Who is your team?
Hold on, this got to be quick, yo. We got a short time now, real quick.
Cody, who is your team?
Championships matter. Championships matter. 15 years, they talk all of this junk about Peyton Manning. He's got one Super Bowl, and he wasn't even responsible for winning.
Okay,
wow.
I understand that. But
right, I got to put you on hold, Tony.
I get what Tony's saying, though. And that Super Bowl, I mean, the MVP could have went to either Rose or Dyke or running back. Cause, I mean,
right.
Everyone.
Hold up. Hey, let me get this last comment. 413.
Yeah, I mean, I generally agree with the idea that Peyton Manning is, you know, quote unquote back. He didn't throw the ball downfield a lot in the game. He did it a couple times. So I'm not gonna say he can't do it, but I mean, to come back from four neck surgeries. The questions were about his arm strength coming back from all that. Did he have to zip on the ball? I still have those questions on Peyton Manning. So the jury's still out basically for me, but, you know, I was mildly surprised that he looked as good as he did against what is a quality defense, or at least what we believe to be a quality defense in Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
Just real fast.
Got one more caller, huh?
Guys are talking about he didn't throw the ball down the field. This is the Colts offense. This is the offense that he ran when he was in Indy. They didn't throw the ball down the field. You had the guy, you had the speed guy working long to short. You had the possession guy working short to deep. And they just took advantage of where the holes were at. So, you know, it's a stretch to say he didn't throw deep, because that's not what the offense called for anyway. It's not that kind of offense.
All right. Okay, one last caller, 850.
All right, I'm going to save minutes back, and I'm going to come back with a question. How can you suck if you're a four-time NFL MVP? All right, I'm done.
Thank you.
I mean, anything, but he can't suck.
I kind of get what Tony's saying, though, I guess, in some of the big games.
I don't get.
I kind of get what Tony is saying. Like, yeah, he didn't play well. Like the last Super Bowl, he played against the Saints. He didn't play his best in that Super Bowl, and he's quote unquote supposed to be the greatest quarterback.
But you still can't overlook what he's done over his career, though.
I'm not overlooking that, though.
You have to look at the fact too. This is a team that without him was the worst team in the NFL, and with him was a playoff to Super Bowl contender.
True. I agree.
Right.
But I wouldn't. I kind of go on where he was saying how he sucked, he tried. But I kind of get what he's saying about the big games, though.
Tony wouldn't even say who his team was.
I think Tony likes the Gators. Are you talking about college football or NFL?
He likes the Gators.
Either one.
Yeah, he likes the Gators. Whatever y'all are bragging about, the Gators.
Hey, James, I'm gonna have to let you go because we gotta wrap it up, man. So we got less than 8 minutes left. We have the session where everybody gets to speak what they have to say for 2 minutes. We'll start with you, Shytown. What you got to say? 2 minutes without being interrupted.
Well, college football and Week One NFL is a wrap. You know, going in tomorrow, my Bears and the Packers. Expecting going to be a good physical, hardcore rivalry tomorrow. You know, my Bears is going to be a big one. It's going to be a statement game to NFC North teams, including them Packers. And I just want to see a heck of a game tomorrow. Also, man, I can't wait till the regular referees come back because we need them. And the way it sounds like it, I don't think they're going to be back anytime soon. Heard Goodell today on the tube saying that, and the way they have not talked, but, hey, we all know about talk, so we're hearing that the placement refs will be referenced until week five. So that's telling the talk. They already got them set all the way to week five. There ain't nothing been progress handling on right now. So man, hopefully we get these guys back soon. But the way it's looking, it's not going to happen.
Man. All right, well.
Are you ready for some football?
All right, my thing is, let me go next. My thing is Alabama, obviously best team in the country, best stable of running backs in the country. RG3 looks like he's on his way to the Hall of Fame, I think, at some point. He may make the Pro Bowl this year. Redskins go 7-9, very impressed. San Francisco, very impressed with their defense. USC, I think they're going to lose the game this year to Washington. It's going to be a tough game this weekend against Stanford. That's all I got to say. Tex, what you got to say real quick? Well, I mean, two minutes.
Yeah, I think USC is the best team in the nation. I think LSU is second. I think LSU has the best stable of backs in the nation because I don't know how Alabama has Trent Richardson and finishes behind LSU in rushing, and they lose him, and now all of a sudden they better. But, okay, 49ers, definitely most impressive team. Falcons, impressive. Cowboys, impressive. A little down on Philadelphia. While everybody says that Andy Reid's not a good play caller, and he is, he that. Michael Vick's decision-making is horrible. Doesn't take care of the football. Still has problems reading defenses. You understand what I'm saying? That's what I got from looking at that game. As far as Denver is concerned, I don't know how Peyton Manning could suck and be a four-time MVP. For my money, I don't know if I've in my lifetime, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody talk the Rock as well as Manning does. Like Mike said, I mean, the team, they lose him, the team goes 2-14. Outside of Drew Brees, you're probably the most valuable player in the NFL. You understand what I'm saying? So, really looking forward to seeing Denver. I was not surprised by Manning's performance. He actually could have had one or two more touchdowns. So, just looking forward to this next week, and I think Florida wins on the road at Tennessee.
All right, Kelly Mike.
All right, wrap things up. UCLA, man, they really surprised me. Brett Hundley, excellent quarterback. They tapped into a underground recruiting base in Arizona. Arizona puts out excellent recruits every year. That's where Brett Hundley's from. Jonathan Franklin is awesome, man. He's averaging 200. It's only been two games, but he's running for two bills each game and over 8 yards a carry each game, too, which is pretty good. Like I said, USC is just, man. Prior to 12 Hills belief, they're looking tough, man. My goodness. I mean, like I say, I did take Texas into consideration. Look at LSU. The running backs are awesome, man. I don't know. I might have to flip flop my pick for number two, but to LSU, and the running backs are awesome. I have to see a little bit more from Metterberger though, because I know at least McCarron isn't gonna lose a game. But the running backs were they do gotta stay four backs. You can start anywhere. Like the caller said, that was weird about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is, you know, he's an excellent quarterback. Like I said, average Peyton Manning right now is above average on everybody else, and he starts for, you know, 95% of teams in the NFL. You know, also I have to get out a shout out to my boy Andre Ward, straight out of Oakland, California, pound for pound, the best boxer in the world. I'm going to end on that note. Thank you.
Well, you know, we would like to thank everybody for their comments, everybody for their calls. Make sure you listen to us, Block Talk Radio. We CMT Firestorm. Peace out. Everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye. I love the intro music, too. It's excellent.
Y'all take care. I'll be starting Green Bay defense and fantasy football with confidence tomorrow.
Hey, Kelly Mike, you said your boy is going to FAMU?
Ooh.
You said your boy was going to FAMU, Kelly Mike?
FAMU, what are you talking about?
I thought you said shout out to your boy. I thought you were going to FAMU.
I don't know anything about them. You might be making stuff up.
Go to Block.
I didn't, y'all. Bye, y'all. Enjoy the music this time on this one.
Get the link for the show. EMP Mars on. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
Yeah, you have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham, Johnny Unitas at the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. With the Oscar quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day. It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.